Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Polysports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. 7 days a week, 7 shows a week. Starting on Monday, at least on my calendar, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al, 6 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday. Followed Tuesday night, also 6 p.m. Eastern, Eric with the Cross and Crescent discussion. Of course, me every Wednesday at 5:30, Hank Jones with Poly Sports. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report is in at 6 Eastern. And then Fridays around noon, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday nights, 10 to midnight, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sundays, Real Interfaith Dialogue. Eric is back for that one. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Time. 7 days, 7 shows, all really good to awesome. If you ever want to interact with this show, of course, there are several ways besides listening. You can email me anytime, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. Go to Twitter, at HPolySports. Go to Facebook, just look up Hank Jones PolySports. Hey, during the show, if you're not listening online, or if you are and you're not in the chat, but you want to talk, you can call in. You can listen that way, but you can also talk. You dial 319-527-6706. When you do, you can listen in to the show. However, if you want to talk, you hit the 1, and yeah, I see a little icon, and it says this person wants to talk, and so we talk. Of course, coming to you from the renovated Electric Hankland studio, and also in the house, my wife and our little Aussie, our little miniature Australian Shepherd, who is just adorable as all get out, got to admit. And Holger pointed out, I should put the link to my show in his tweets. I know, you know what, I forgot today, but I did put it in a later tweet, so there's that, had that going for me, which is nice. Okay, before we get started with any of this, I just want it known, Kevin McCarthy sucks. That stupid thing he did, you know, tried to deny, but then he's been sending out these emails, a chain of emails, to combat Nancy Pelosi on her lack of election integrity or whatever. I mean, they're about as worthy of being read as a Chuck Schumer book on ethics. I'm serious. It's just, it's unbelievable. I had to get that out. I didn't want to make it a part of the show, but I had to get that out because he sucks. And I just want it known that I think he sucks. You know what I think? I think he sucks. Hey, we got good stuff today. Brother Tommy's going to be in with one. He's going to be in to talk about the Derby, but we're also going to talk about some other stuff. There's some stuff that's coming up that even, I mean, words of our grandmother, I'm appalled. I'm appalled. It's just, it's not to be believed. It's really not. Some of these stories, some of them are just funny, I guess. Some of them are creepy. Let's get to the obituaries. Hey, why not? Last Thursday, we lost Harold Livingston, novelist and screenwriter at age 97. He was a founding member of the Israeli Air Force and helped attain victory in the Arab-Israeli War in 1948. He was also one of the screenwriters for Star Trek, the motion picture. I would say that the former is a more important and bigger accomplishment. Friday, we had two notable losses. First, we lost Peter Moore at age 78. Who was he? Only one of the guys who designed the original Nike Air Jordan sneaker. Back when they were, well, they've never been affordable, but back when they didn't cost $400 or whatever they cost. And we also lost actor David Burney at age 83, complications of Alzheimer's disease. And he was known for two main roles, Bridget Loves Bernie. Okay, his name was last name was spelled B-I-R-N-E-Y. The show was conventional, B-E-R-N-I-E. He eventually married his co-star, Meredith Baxter. And remember, for a while she was Meredith Baxter Burney, and then they got divorced, and she was back to Meredith Baxter. And he was also on St. Elsewhere. He played a guy named Dr. Ben Samuels. He was sort of a ladies' man. But he also took his patient cases real seriously. I remember one dying, and he just – Saturday was a bit of a shocker. Lost country singer Naomi Judd, the mother of the mother-daughter country duo, the Judds, from suicide at age 76. Now, she had originally retired in 1991 when it was discovered that she had hepatitis C. It was later revealed that she also suffered from bouts of severe depression. And the meds that she took then caused anxiety and some physical issues that caused further emotional distress. Definitely a sad loss, especially, you know, for her two daughters who tweeted out that, you know, they lost her to mental illness. Sunday we lost rock drummer Rick R.J. Parnell. He played with some notable acts, Lisa Del Bello, Michael DeBar. Well, he played drums on the Tony Basil hit Mickey. Remember that? Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. Yeah, he played drums on that. But it was a gig he got in 1984 that put him over the cliff, as it were. That year, R.J. Parnell played on the soundtrack and appeared in the film This Is Spinal Tap. He played the part of Mick Shrimpton, the drummer of the moment. Remember, drummers in Spinal Tap had rather brutal fates sometimes. He delivered the classic line of, well, as long as there's the sex and the drugs, I suppose I could live without the rock and roll. But yeah, before he unceremoniously succumbed to spontaneous combustion, that was while he was playing their gig at Magic Mountain. They didn't get top billing over the puppet show, but they did get the bigger dressing room. Thank God he was survived by his theoretical twin brother, Rick Shrimpton, for subsequent Spinal Tap gigs. As the movie points out, it should be noted that dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not widely reported. No word yet on whether or not it was how we lost Rick R.J. Parnell. Monday, we saw a really tragic suicide death. Kylia Posey, who had appeared on the reality show Toddlers and Tiaras, took her own life at age 16. And that's awful. I mean, that's just awful. And I'm not really sure that this will help in any way to get rid of that crap, that televised, you know. I mean, do we really need teen and preteen kids facing this kind of parental pressure for success, especially on television? Yeah, not where I sit. Poor kid. Rest in peace, young lady. It's very sad. Yesterday, we lost former congressman and George W. Bush administration figure Norm Mineta to heart disease at age 90. He served as Secretary of Commerce for about a year and then later Secretary of Transportation. Before we get to our news, I want to give a shout-out to my friends at Alliance Communications Center, 24-hour call center and messaging service in Central Florida, but they serve all over the country and even internationally. Full range of services, government accounts, businesses, small businesses, service businesses, medical offices. And like I've said before, if you're that office that's never going back to the office from COVID, or frankly, if you're the real estate office who's trying to scramble to get all those things rented, Alliance Communications can help. Give them a call, 800-555-3738 or www.alliancecommunications.com. Yeah, we got lots of news. In addition to the fact that today the Fed raised its rates by 50 basis points or 0.5%, it's also going to, quote, shrink its balance sheet. And then we got this. We got this. And this is a product speaker earlier because I don't believe it. I don't think he's going to believe it. Oh, by the way, I want to welcome Boyd and Vito to the chat room, Boyd the Alaskan. On the phones, we got Sue and Mike, Hawkeye Mike, and Brother Tommy, and a couple numbers I don't recognize. At least they're not hitting the one and dropping one of those crazy questions on me. Anyway, okay, this is from the Western Journal. This is a real story, a real publication. For those that don't know, westernjournal.com. Similar to like an Epic, I guess you'd say. Anyway, okay, here's the story. It is a truth of modern life that technology can cause issues in a marriage. Applications of phones, tablets, computers, and other facets of 21st century life are nothing next to the plight of Japan's Akihiko Kondo, who can't talk to his wife anymore because her software is no longer supported, such as the price Kondo paid for being what's called a fictosexual and marrying a hologram, according to the New York Post. Kondo, 38, had what he termed a wedding ceremony in 2018 when he married Hatsune Miku, who in Japanese anime culture is a 16-year-old pop singer with turquoise hair. Because being a fictosexual is more popular than one might think, there arose technology to feed that niche. Gatebox emerged, a $1,300 machine that allowed those in love with what was not real to talk to their characters and unofficially marry them. When the BBC checked in on the marriage in 2019, it reported that Miku was, quote, a hologram that lives in a glass capsule on a shelf in a corner of the room, and the cuddly toy with its big soft head and small body that he holds close at night. Unquote. Well, why was the BBC checking in on this thing? But the course of true love is never smooth. Support for Gatebox software has ended. That means Kondo no longer can talk to his hologram wife. My love for Miku hasn't changed, he said, according to the Post. I held the wedding ceremony because I thought I could be with her forever. But instead of the hologram, Kondo now carries a life-sized version of her. When we're together, she makes me smile, he said recently, according to the New York Times. In that sense, she's real. Kondo said he fell in love with the character in 2008 after years of being bullied. After multiple rejections from people in the real world, he said, I stayed in my room for 24 hours a day and watched videos of Miku the whole time. One commentator said the line between reality and fantasy is blurred in a world of electronics. You have the comics, the cartoons, the games kind of building up a sort of infrastructure where characters become more important to peer people, said Patrick Galbraith, an associate professor in the School of International Communication at Senshu University in Tokyo. Neither his coworkers nor family attended his wedding, but 39 people did show up, mostly strangers and online pals. There are two reasons why I had a wedding publicly, he told the BBC at the time. The first one is to prove my love to Miku. The second one is there are many young otaku people, like me, falling in love with anime characters. I want to show the world I support them. Otaku is a Japanese word that is roughly translated as geek. I'm not making this up, folks. I'm really not. Times reported, noted that the end of his visits with his hologram wife. On the day the company turned her off, Mr. Kondo said goodbye for the last time and left for work. When he went home that night, Miku's image had been replaced by the words, network error. Someday he hopes they will be reunited. Maybe she'll take on new life as an android, or they will meet in the metaverse, the Times reported. Either way, Mr. Kondo said he plans to be faithful to her until he dies. Good God, folks, I had a whole show planned, but this just, I just don't even know. Okay, there are, as you've heard, there are all kinds of sound effects that we have on our dashboard. And I'm not even sure where to begin. I mean, we have all of them. We'll start with this one, I guess. Yeah, that was after the officiant announced, "May I present to you?" And then there was this one, which this could be interpreted several ways. We'll play it real quick. That could have been, I don't know, the child bride, or it could have been the baby they never got to have. How about this one? Yeah, that's the crowd going wild. The crowd goes wild. You got this one. And of course, this one for the marriage certificate. Yeah, that's the paper being ripped. That thing's gone. There's this. And then there's this. This is what I would say to our lucky groom.
You can't handle the truth.
And then, of course, when he got home from work. Or maybe this. Or this. Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of them. There's this, of course.
Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you.
Then there's, of course, my favorite. This is the last one, I promise. Okay. I'm not even sure, like I said, I'm not sure where to go with this. I'm not sure. I mean, this is a, like I said, this is a real story from a real publication. What the hell? Well, is it me? Have I completely lost my mind? Am I in an alternate universe where I'm reading something that's just, I mean, what? Okay. Marrying a 16-year-old's creepy enough, of course, for a 38-year-old man. Marrying a hologram of a 16-year-old. I don't know. I mean, I don't see Brother Tommy putting his icon on, but I really want to bring him in now because, one, I've got the story that we're going to talk about later, but I mean, maybe when he comes on later, I'll bring it back up, but this is just not, it's not real. It can't, I mean, I don't know. Well, okay, in some wonderful news, remains found in Texas were identified as the girlfriend of ex-NFL player Kevin Ware. They were discovered during a Houston area search back in December. Her name was Taylor Pomosky. She was the missing girlfriend of former NFL player Kevin Ware. Now, they say the investigation's still open. She was last seen at a party at her home. Her disappearance was described as suspicious. Ware was a tight end, played with the 49ers. He was questioned about her disappearance last June. They have not named any suspects or persons of interest yet. He's been in a jail north of Houston without bail for violating conditions of bond for a case involving drugs and weapons charges, totally unrelated to the disappearance of Taylor Pomosky. But yeah, so our former sports heroes are almost as active as current ones. Rand Paul, never one to shy away from the spotlight. Hell, let's just say it. The guy seeks the spotlight sometimes. Not as bad as some, but it's worth others. He says he promised last Saturday that he would wage a vigorous review into the origin of the coronavirus if Republicans retake the Senate and he lands a committee chairmanship. He said, last week I was on an airplane for the first time in 2 years and didn't have to wear a mask. And you know what I saw in the airport? I saw at least 97% of the other free individuals not wearing masks. Now, it's no secret. This guy's been at, he and Fauci have been at swords points for a long time on this. But, here's my question. Well, he says, when we take over in November, I will be chairman of a committee and I will have subpoena power and we will get to the bottom of where this virus came from. Let me ask something, just hypothetical, theoretical, whatever you want to say. Why isn't he pushing for it now? I get that he's not going to be chairman of a committee. I get that the Republicans aren't, quote unquote, the majority party. There's nothing that stops him from getting into this now. He's got staffers. He's got people that he could put into this. Okay, Brother Tommy's ready to go. Let's give him his theme now. What the heck? Let's do it. He's earned it. He's earned it.
This is TJ, dedicating the song to Let Belly.
Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She's from Birmingham. Bama Lamb, way down in Alabama. Bama Lamb, the way she shake that thing. Bama Lamb, won't she make me
turning it down. Brother Tommy in the house, man. What's up?
Hey, I just called because I thought you gave me the cue.
I did.
You said
what I wanted to talk about. Did you hear the first story?
Yeah, I can't believe my eyes or ears anymore. Oh, incidentally, Hank, I meant to tell you, we have a, I'm just going to use the last name. It's a common name. We have Liz's maid of honor, Hawkeye Liz's maid of honor's mother died yesterday. So shout out to her family and her maid of honor is going through shit. So that sucks. But no, those stories now, I don't even freaking believe them. I'm hearing these stories now. I don't know. Kind of fucked up.
Now, we've been in this argument over time. Of course, I'm talking about the Richard Gere gerbil story.
Not true.
Okay. Now, I used to go along with it. Now, after seeing this, I'm going to say I'm not going to write it off totally. I'm just not going to write it off.
Okay.
Totally.
Now, listen. your viewers or listeners are going to think I'm a freaking pervert. I Googled it once. Richard Keir Gerbling. Why did I Google it? I had a lot of time on my hands. But everything I read said there's been no documented case of Gerbling. That being said, one of my closest friends, if not my closest friend, is a homosexual. And he says, I wouldn't be too shocked. But when I Googled it, it said not true. There's never been a documented hospital case of gerbling. But then again, I'm hearing so much shit lately, I don't know what to believe anymore. The world has gone mad. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe.
I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, it's just...
How would you even invent that? Oh, I know. Homosexuals out there, I get it. You need anal satisfaction.
This was just a guy marrying a hologram of a 16. The hologram part's bad enough. The 16-year-old part would be bad enough, given that he's 38. But a hologram of a 16-year-old. I'm not sure whether we say yay for him not actually going through and marrying a 16-year-old or... completely, like, I don't know.
Two things. I just got a story a couple nights ago about a buddy that supposedly, we don't have conclusive evidence, hit his wife. Unacceptable. And the other one is what you're talking about, a 16-year-old. I mean, it's gross. It's like... This is where I'm not your good guess, because I don't even get it. It's like, what, 16-year-old?
Well, you're going to be on talking about this stuff, but I had to bring you on because here we've argued the durable thing, you know, whether it could really be true or not. And now we have a story that at least allows us to say, hey, don't write that off. Don't necessarily.
One of the most profound human beings on the earth. And I got this on good source in the sense of internet. So if it's on the internet, it's obviously true. Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi used to sleep with like 12 and 13-year-olds to challenge himself from a discipline sense. I'm like, how does that challenge you? Are you in the first place? Are you in the first place? So fuck up that you want to sleep with 12. I swear to God, people, Google it. It's true. I'm like, if I had a 12 or 13-year-old girl next to me, I'd be like, get the fuck away. Go to your bunk bed. Shut the fuck up.
I mean,
it doesn't make sense to me. I actually like the older women.
That's kind of creepy. No two ways about that. But
not kind of. Please, maybe you got an issue.
Wasn't he also?
It's only kind of creepy to you.
Maybe you got an issue. Wasn't he also? Was it him that was obsessed with his own feces or whatever?
Yes. Gandhi was the one that thought. But this is not that crazy to me. He thought you could judge a man by his defecations. And that kind of makes sense. You know, if you have diarrhea and stuff, that means you're not eating right and all that. But if you're challenging your discipline by not being able to fuck 12-year-olds, sorry, it's just gross. Gandhi was great. He served a hell of a lot better than I did in life. But I read that and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
It's just gross.
Yeah. Hey, Mike's on the line and wants to chime in, so this could be good. Mike, what's up?
Hawkeye Mike better not be taking Gandhi's side on the 12-year-old girl fetish.
Well, he's not trying to bring him in, but he's not rounding in it. Mike, you there?
Because your fucking phone.
Yeah, I'm here, Hank.
Work.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Oh, there it
yeah,
is.
I can hear you. So,
you guys hear
so
me
what,
now? Okay.
Yeah, well, you
well,
have
Well, you know,
to say.
It's interesting where the conversation went because I've got a colonoscopy tomorrow. I'll leave the 12-year-old
I was in the middle of
it.
So
Hank, let me quickly interrupt
right
my
now
Hawkeye Mike.
Liquid diet, you know, I'm having fun right now on the liquid diet because I want to make sure we don't have a crappy experience tomorrow when I'm undergoing the procedure.
Pun.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
Let me quickly interrupt Hawkeye Mike, and then I'll shut the fuck up. I had me a turd the other day that felt like it was a bowling ball. And I'm like, I take my hat off to homosexuals. How they can deal with it?
Oh, man.
It hurts so much.
Okay, okay,
oh, it hurts.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Well,
yeah, you're right. Too deep. Too deep.
So, Mike, this test isn't being administered by a 13-year-old, though, right? I mean, we got a pro going at least. Okay. Hey, since you guys are both on, let's quickly talk the NFL draft. Either of you guys. Obviously, Linderbaum was no surprise.
He was right? 25, I think, right?
Yeah.
25.
But I mean, no surprise that he got picked, obviously.
Right.
Are you guys shocked that Tyler Goodson didn't get a pick?
I'm surprised he didn't get, like, in a later round. I mean, he did sign, but he didn't get picked. That
guy's a pussy. He gets touched and he falls. Sorry. And she's great. He gets touched and he falls down.
If that's the best he could do, maybe he should have stayed another year. That's
most
question.
Certainly.
Here's a question that's come up a couple places. Should a guy who still has college eligibility be able to, like in basketball, declare for the draft but not lose his eligibility? In other words, do the exploratory thing or whatever? I mean, have we reached that point, or?
Well,
with NIL, everything right now is out of the imagination. I was talking to my college buddy that played college football at University of Illinois, and we're like, college football's done, man. With NIL and transfer portal, no. It's ladies, listeners, look at this as a metaphor for life. Because I know you probably don't care about football, but no. NIL ruined it. I'll give Hawkeye Mike the floor.
Well, the point that you were making earlier about, should it be like the end, like the basketball side? Yeah, I don't see why not. These kids, right, and they still are kids, right? They don't know what – I mean, they hear things and think, hey, time to go. But
so
I
true.
Think Tom has yep. a good. I think Tom has a good point about some of the shortfalls of Tyler Goodson. Maybe I'm not quite as where he's at as far as like being afraid to take a hit. But it seems to me that another year might have done him a lot of good. Let's hope that he makes the cut. You know, we'll have to
yeah,
he'll
that.
Be an undrafted.
Also,
he'll
I'm
be an undrafted
surprised.
Free agent. Obviously,
yeah, that's what he is.
But,
I was also surprised Dane Belton. I thought might go a little earlier than he did, but
Dane Belton grew up about. Dane Belton
grew up
about
in Florida.
20 minutes from where I live. He grew up in Tampa. You can Google it, Jesuit High School in Tampa. It's about 20 minutes from where I live. I hope the best for him. But these guys going out early, it's like you're dumb. Unless you're like a Linderbaum. I mean, if you're going to get $7 million guaranteed signing bonus, I get it. But otherwise, why Goodson would do it? Beyond me. All right, I'm going to give up.
Yeah, but even Linderbaum, remember last year there was talk he was going to go. A lot of people thought he would, including myself. Yeah. And he came back a year, and, it seemed to, even though the Iowa offensive line play was less than to be desired.
Stellar,
He had a great year, and I think he probably did better this year than he would have done last year.
Well, the thing is with Linderbaum with me, and I'm only going by what I used to read. I don't even go on the Hawkeye Report anymore. But, and here again, people, it's a metaphor. But Linderbaum, to me, everything I've read, he's a class guy. He's a class act, totally a class act. Same with Dane Belton. I wish nothing but good for either one of them, Nothing but good, but Linderbaum's going to make it.
Yeah. I was kind of shocked Matt Hankins didn't get picked. Then Valkenburg
no speed,
and Tyler Schott.
No speed. No speed. Hankins, no speed. All right,
yeah,
go on.
I knew Jack Kerner wasn't, but I didn't think Schott's got a mini camp tryout. The kicker, Shudak, yeah. I mean, Iowa State's kicker got drafted, I thought I read somewhere. Maybe with one of you guys texting, which kind of shocks me.
Yeah,
kickers don't get drafted.
I'm surprised Shudak, too. He was such a good kicker. You know, you think he would have.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I was surprised. I didn't follow the draft,
you know,
totally, but
kind of...
I, too, was surprised about Shudak. Go
but
on.
I think
Shudak will have a chance to prove himself, though.
Yeah, but I think kickers, teams aren't going to waste a draft choice on a kicker. I don't
that's
think.
Precisely right. That's
well,
why
that's
they
probably,
don't
you're probably
draft
right.
a kicker.
Because they're a dime a dozen, right? You know, the old joke about NFL stands not for long when you miss a field goal in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's
see
the thing. Maybe
Buffalo
that's the,
Bills.
Maybe that's
see
the,
Buffalo Bills.
But maybe that's the shocking thing about Linderbaum in a way, because centers also, as a rule, just don't go in the first round. You know,
you're wrong about that in the sense that offensive linemen are actually
offensive linemen, but centers, strictly
centers,
speaking, centers
no,
rarely,
you're
get,
wrong.
Rarely get drafted.
You're wrong.
No.
The
Google
leagues
it.
Changed.
Centers.
The leagues changed. The center is the one, believe it or not, other than the quarterback, the center is the one that says, okay, I'm getting deep into the weeds here, but the center is the one that looks at the left linebacker, the middle linebacker, or the right linebacker. No, I disagree with you there, Hank, because
well, Google,
centers.
Google's centers barely get picked in the first round. Is all I'm saying. That's
oh, I agree with
fact.
That. But Linderbaum's such a good center.
No doubt.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I misunderstood. Yeah. I misunderstood you in the context of what you were saying.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, it's just that centers
but
rarely.
They're an integral part of an offensive line. People don't realize it, but they're the ones who look at the linebackers. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. God damn it. I got to learn to shut up.
Vito said in the chat room, he says, Google it, Tommy. It comes under the Dalai Lama and centering. Oh, my God.
Hi, Darren.
Indy Hawk backed me up that on the that I'm correct that rarely do centers get drafted. So I don't know.
I misunderstood your context. I was just saying they're a very integral part of the offensive line. People don't realize it.
Right.
Everyone
Mike
says
is,
left
Mike
tackle, blind side, all that. Centers are integral.
Yeah.
But kind of like Mike said, you know, some people are a dime a dozen, and I agree with that. I agree with what Hawkeye Mike said. He didn't say it about centers, but he said it about running backs, I think. And I agree with
about
that.
Kickers,
and kickers. Plays kickers.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, kickers. But, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to shut up. Jesus.
So I've got to ask Mike about this other thing. We're back to the hologram. Get this, he spent $17,300 on his wedding. And now the hologram wedding, the guy that married he spent $17,000 on the wedding, on the ceremony.
Isn't that about half the price, the going price of a wedding nowadays?
Yeah, and you can actually see photos of this guy.
I know what the average cost of a real wedding is. Yeah.
Average cost for a real wedding is about $50,000.
Oh, wow.
Last I checked. Because having had a
Hawkeye Mike said half. That's $34,000.
I remember years ago, my dad was telling my sister he'd give her like $5,000 if she'd just elope when the time came to.
Now that's
my mom
practical.
Got
I love
that.
It.
I don't think it was very, it didn't go very well. Yeah, he didn't get away with it.
I looked at that story. That was literally WTF. I know I'm trying not to swear on this show. I'm like, are you? Okay, I'm going to drop an F-bomb. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That story is sick. It's like my brain cannot wrap around it. I'm like, there's another one recently that my brain just cannot wrap around. I forget what it was, but I was watching Fox News a couple of days ago, and I literally just grabbed the clicker and turned it off and said, okay, Tom, calm down. It doesn't make sense to you. Maybe it makes sense to others. So be it. Mind your own business.
The reason I asked Mike
you're not talking about the supercalifragilistic chick, are you?
Don't freak me out again. I've been freaked out so much. Motherfucker, I've got four cops and an ambulance outside of my place.
Like that to put in charge of things. Jeez.
I've probably said this before.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Hank.
Okay. So you brought this up today, Tommy. There's video of Dave Chappelle, the attack on Dave Chappelle.
I heard about it. He did not
get hurt. I mean, he stayed on the stage afterward. Evidently, the attacker got the crap beat out of him. And Chappelle, to his defense, said it was probably a trans, or he said it was a transsexual or a trans man, because he's been getting his, he's been coming under fire for saying that, you know, talking, knocking.
And you know what? You're not going to find anyone that knows more about Dave Chappelle than me. I know everything about him. If you watch that skit, he said absolutely nothing inappropriate. I'll tell you what, I'll say it on your thing. I don't like trans. To me, it grosses the hell out of me. Dave Chappelle had a best friend that was trans. They didn't listen to the rest of his skit. To me, he's one of the six best comedians alive, and when I heard that story, I literally almost started crying, because I love Dave Chappelle. I know what he does. Lives in in Ohio. He puts money into the community, and when I heard that story, I'm like, motherfucker. Now, I heard it third party, so I don't know the backstory, but are you kidding me? It's
he's
like
okay.
me and
he's
my
okay.
buddy were talking. No, real quick. Me and my buddy were talking, and my buddy happens to be a homosexual, and he says the same thing I did. It's like, you know what? Do your due diligence. If you fucking are going to be offended by humor, do your due diligence, Google him, and say, okay, the guy can be deferent. You know, I just don't get that. I'm telling you, everything's surprising the hell out of me. I think I'm losing my fucking mind. I don't understand that one.
Why do you attack a comedian? I mean, the Will Smith thing, which I still kind of wonder in the back of my mind if that was faked, you know, if that was just...
No way.
You don't think so?
I've studied it. Nope. I'll let Hawkeye Mike. I know I've been hogging the mic.
You talk about, like, why would they attack us? The left, I mean, it's been pretty obvious. This is just another example of it. They have no sense of humor about anything that about themselves. Because
I could not agree more.
It's like throwing the gauntlet down or something.
Couldn't agree more. And real quick, I just do not like when someone physically superior. I don't like anyone that does physical violence. I don't like it. And when I saw that, I was disgusted. I watched the reruns and stuff. No, that was not staged. People are saying maybe it was staged. Bullshit. I know Chris Rock. I talked about Chappelle. Chris Rock's probably my second favorite comedian, and no, he didn't stage that. And I'll tell you what, I cannot wait. Chris Rock is going to excoriate that son of a bitch. He's going to murder him on the comedy trail and probably at Netflix. And guess what? Will Smith, I'm going to tell you guys something right now. I'm a pretty good judge of negative human nature.
His career is in deep shit.
It's not even in deep shit. His career is over.
By the way, you know Chris Rock was in the audience when Chappelle got attacked, right? You knew that.
Yeah, he was.
I thought that was a real irony. Yeah, that was.
I did not know that. Now that's interesting. I thought he was at the comedy club in L.A.
He made some remark about he didn't realize Will Smith was in the audience. You know.
Interesting.
Oh, he did.
This happened last night at the comedy club in L.A.
Chris Rock was there. Chris Rock was there.
No shit. I did not know that.
Right. Yep.
Did not know that. That's interesting. The good news is this, guys. Will Smith is a piece of shit. I never knew it until the end or the Academies. He's not going to work again. Trust me, he will not work again. and I love it. Yeah, he's got 40, anywhere from 40 to $100 million.
He and John Duff can go open a hot dog stand somewhere, you know, maybe they can.
Although Johnny Depp had actually something really interesting I saw on the Gutfeld show. I forget what it was, but he was actually somewhat articulate. This Amber Heard, I don't even know who she is. I don't follow the.
She's a psycho too, you know. I mean, Amber Heard's a psycho.
Well, Johnny Depp's so full of shit.
Well, Depp's got some substance abuse problem, history of substance abuse problems. I think it's kind of messed him up a little bit, but you know, he's a great actor. I'll say that. It's just it's too bad that you know this is going to really hurt his career.
You know what, though? When they start pontificating to me, I'm like, oh, show me that diploma. It ain't Dartmouth. It ain't Harvard. It ain't Yale. It's a fucking nondescript high school diploma. But they fucking feel like they can talk their shit. And I'm sorry. I do not like it when they get political. I don't. The only one I'll tolerate that gets political is Gary Sinise because he's actually not political. But he fucking walks the walk and talks the talk. Todd and I, my buddy and I were talking last night or even the night before. It doesn't matter. The motherfucker, like 90% of his charity goes to actual charity. Gary Sinise is a stand-up son of a bitch. These are the Hollywood guys. I don't need Madonna telling me to. Okay. Once again, Hank, my bad. I'm rambling. We're on topics. It's not Hawkeye Mike's fault, but brought up topics that incite me, makes me incendiary. All right, go ahead.
So anyway, okay, got some other stories that we'll run through. So Boris Becker's going to jail.
Really?
You guys hear? Yeah.
The tennis player?
He had been in bankruptcy proceedings, and it turned out he was hiding assets
or
bank fraud. He was sending money to his ex-wife, among other people. So
it's not just for a couple weeks. It's like 2.5 years.
Yeah, he's going for 2.5 years.
Really? God, this is news to me.
His ex-wife,
in a sense, shame on me for not knowing it. But
he was hiding assets, and you know, I mean, so yeah, it's bankruptcy fraud. But you know, now that's not the U.S. Obviously, it's in the U.K. So you know, in the U.S., it depending on his politics.
I thought Becker was Germany. I thought he was Germany.
He
not
is,
UK.
But this is in London. What happened? He lived in London, evidently. Four fraud charges under Britain's Insolvency Act, including failing to disclose, concealing, and removing significant assets. So, yeah.
He had to have made $40 million. He had to have made minimal $40 million in his career. How are you so fucking stupid that you blow that? Jesus Christ. The whole world's gone mad.
Your head. Yeah.
I don't know. He had some lousy advice. He said bad business deals, that kind of stuff. And they said,
Be dumb enough to give my accountant power of attorney or my attorney power of attorney? I mean, I don't get these people. Hey, it is what it is. I'm not even judging. I can't even figure this shit out anymore. These cops are finally starting to roll out of my apartment complex. Holy shit.
Well, that's
good.
I have no idea
what's going on.
Folks, you heard it here first, folks. Brother Tommy is not going to jail.
These motherfuckers won't fuck with me. Guys, I talk a big game, and I admit it, but believe me, you get a cop with me mano a mano, and I will do Jedi mind tricks on him that'll mace you.
Okay.
But that's what that is. I'm sorry. Go back to Boris Becker. My bad.
Okay. So, no, it's just that he made some bad investments, and he's hit the
tank. I did not know that.
So guess what Amazon has done? This one is gonna blow you away.
Gonna blow you away.
Yes, exactly. Blow you away. They're ending paid COVID leave. Amazon
paid
of all
COVID
places.
Leave.
In other words, what's happening?
Yeah, but the way they're
paid time off policy for employees with COVID-19 starting May 2nd, 2 days ago.
I didn't even know they had paid COVID leave.
Well,
maybe they're going up in my book.
There was mandatory for a while, but yeah. So the U.S.-based staff will now get 5 days of excused unpaid leave following a confirmed diagnosis. Where they used
really?
To give up to
so,
like
you know
a
what
and,
you know what I did read something about this, and there was an interesting note about this that maybe these workers might regret if they've done it, if they've had the opportunity to have voted down unionizing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, get a union,
yeah.
This would not happen, you know.
They knocked it down.
My wife worked at a private country club at the heat of COVID. For whatever reason, they considered it essential work. For whatever reason, God knows I can't explain it. And I was talking to a female bartender at one of the bars I frequent and or used to frequent, and she's like, "Bitch, should have not bitch, but you know what I'm saying. Should have just left. She would have gotten $700 a week plus whatever else she would get from her pay." Fucking blows my mind. Oh, Hank, can I change the subject real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
This,
by the way, Tom, was that the bar that you used to frequent? Was it the Cheap Laughs Bar and Grill? Is that
he doesn't know the Cheap Laughs. He's never been.
I know the Iowa City bars, but that one doesn't ring any bells.
I'm just getting at it. Was Tom the Happy Marston of the
Mike the bartender.
No, I don't know it. But I will say this: it was. And my wife's probably or definitely listened to Hank's show on her phone. But I'll say it gladly: it's a bitch I wanted to bang so bad, but she put me on a pay no mind list. And then I realized, well, duh, because I'm a really good looking guy. I realized, duh, she's obviously a lesbian.
Because
yeah, right, I mean, she put me at seriously. She'd walk by me. She lived in the same complex as me, and she'd walk by me. I'd pull my ear. You know how you have headphones on when you walk and whatnot, and it's kind of, you know, decorum. Pull your earphones out, and people talk. She walked by me, and I talked to my gay friend, and I told him she played baseball or softball, women's softball. At Western Michigan, and he's like, "Well, duh, dummy, she's a lesbian." And I'm like, "That nails it," because I've never able to not hit a chick when I've won. I've never cheated on my wife. I've only been with one chick, and my wife's an earshot. So I'm obviously doing this for comedic value. But that being said, the thing I wanted to change it to, Hank, but it's your show. If you say, no, we're not going down this road, so be it, is Elon Musk. That motherfucker is going up in my book every day I read about him.
Yeah, he's
I
my
told
eye.
My wife. I told my wife. I'm like, you dumb motherfuckers at Twitter. Okay, baby, I got it. Fricker, dumb mother fricker. My wife does says my blood pressure goes up when I swear. I'm like, really? Oh, Twitter? Really? You're going to fuck with the richest man in the world? How fucking dumb are you? Elon Musk. Okay, stop it. Elon Musk didn't even do it out of principle. He's like, hold my beer. You fuckers want to fuck with me? Watch this. And he did.
Gotta,
he's just like, I'll buy your
you
fucking company.
You got a guy who buys Twitter, creates Tesla, and oh, by the way, he's developing the lander that's going to land on the return to the moon. I mean, that tells you all you need to know about this guy.
Well,
what's
so beautiful about it is that, as an example, the Senate wants to be him now. Really? I mean,
yeah.
The Senate,
the Senate that never heard of Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos?
Exactly.
Owns
exactly.
The Washington Post. Or,
well,
you know,
I'll tell you what.
Google and, you know, yeah.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if you guys got Spotify. It's free. I don't know how to set it up. My boys could tell you guys. But I watched Joe Rogan's interview with him. The motherfucker's obviously a genius. I mean, beyond the pale genius. But that being said, he's a weird motherfucker, too. Like all geniuses, we all got
high
qualities.
You know, you're going to have a little eccentricity there. I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, this guy's whole life has been outside the box, right? So his thought process
pretty much
is going to be that way.
I don't know his real backstory.
I just love seeing how the left is reacting to it. I mean, it's like, they just don't even.
The meltdown, you mean?
Yeah. So here's the other meltdown, Mike, and I think it's just interesting. You know, we had the Supreme Court draft that was released, or leaked, if you will. Do they know who the leaker is for sure or not?
Supposedly a liberal leaker. This is Brother Tommy, supposedly a liberal leaker. Hawkeye Mike would know more about it, so I'll shut up. Go ahead, Hawkeye Mike.
Well, not necessarily, but my guess is that it's some little woke lefty law clerk working for one of the liberal justices like Sotomayor or Kagan or Breyer, probably Sotomayor.
That's the way I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, that's my guess. But, you know, you never know, right? Let's do the investigation and find out. They will, I think, find out who it is because we're talking about a pretty small universe of people here. And you just get them all these clerks in a room and the Chief Justice can talk to each one of them. Was it you? They'll crack. Plus, they can check their iPhones. They can check their emails and stuff. Even if they try to erase it, I think they can find it out.
Yeah,
especially if you get some forensic people in there from the FBI, they can find out who it was.
I'm surprised.
So then,
100%.
I'm
100% anti-abortion, but you guys watch. This is my prophecy. It ain't gonna go through. They say it's gonna go through in June. Bullshit. You'll see.
Yeah. Well,
it's not gonna go through.
They're not going to overturn it.
You
got to be careful here.
It's actually not about overturning it anyway. It's a case in Mississippi, and that they said that they would rule in favor of the
state. If they return it, it just goes to
the
state. The
draft that got leaked out supposedly did overturn Roe versus Wade, said it was wrongly decided, which, look, it doesn't matter whether you support abortion or not. The decision in Roe versus Wade constitutionally, I won't go get into the weeds of it too much.
It's totally crazy. I agree.
Totally
I could not agree more.
Right.
I couldn't agree more.
This is not found in the Constitution. So for that reason, it should be overruled.
It should
now,
be overruled.
You know,
I'm saying it's not going to be. You guys will see.
But I would also point out, but I think the key thing to point out here is what you have, let's assume that it's true that this is on the up and up, this was a draft. A real draft that got leaked. That does not mean that that's going to be the decision of the court. You probably have several different opinions floating around. This is
correct.
My guess.
And you know
and,
what?
And
fucking Roberts,
almost,
will, Roberts, will fold. Roberts will fold.
Well,
I guarantee
but I mean,
you.
We don't know what the final product will be.
So, Mike, here's a question.
No.
They want to make it sound like this was what was coming down. I think,
right.
You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Mike, here's a question. Vito has a question in the chat room. So can charges be brought against the person who did the leaking? I mean, is that
I'm not Mike, but there's no criminal penalty.
Here's where the danger would be for anybody, is if the FBI gets involved and starts investigating and anybody lies to the FBI, at that point you have a violation of the law, 18 U.S. Code Section 1001, lying to the FBI. But the fact that they leaked it is probably a stretch to say.
It's not even probably. Mike,
it's
unethical.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would
it's unethical to the map. Hawkeye Mike's a lawyer, people. Just, I'm going to do my disclaimer. Hawkeye Mike's a lawyer, excuse me. But no, you are not criminally liable
something. No. He said that. But what his point?
He
is,
said probably. He didn't say definitely.
Right.
That's my
but
point.
What he
well,
no what
no
he
no.
Say,
I,
where it's
I,
going
well,
is
no,
the guy
for
that
saying it. There wouldn't be for saying it. There might be some argument. I don't think it's going to wash. that the leaking, the act of the leaking, it could violate some law.
No crime against that. You're wrong. You're more legally expertise than me, but there's no crime for speaking your mind.
It's releasing information that may not be privy to being released.
Federal document.
Any Supreme Court decision is ultimately public knowledge. I'm just saying you're wrong.
Right, but what he's really saying, though, is that's not where the problem would come. It would be like the person who gets asked, did you do this or whatever, and lying to the FBI. That's where
they got a big problem.
Yeah. I got more news for you guys. I know this. I knew lawyers when I was at the track, and I'm sure we're going
to
come up on that.
We are.
It's not illegal. It's not illegal. It's illegal to lie to a judge. It is not illegal to lie to the police or the FBI. Then they bring you up on charges.
You're wrong on that, Tom.
Really?
Leave the police aside. Lying to the FBI is a crime. 18 U.S. Code Section 1001.
Police is not.
If they were to do that and you had evidence of it, you could charge them. Now,
I stand corrected.
Speculation as to whether that would happen, but that's the danger for any of these people is if the FBI does come in, and we don't know yet that's going to happen, and investigates and start and these people start lying to the FBI. They don't have to be under oath. If they just lie, it can be looked upon. It's a form of obstruction of justice. We'll see what happens.
Here's what I don't
get.
Some people are making it sound
don't
like
lie
oh, this
to the
is,
FBI. That's
well, no,
I'll
but people are saying like nothing
advice.
Like this is nothing like this has ever happened before, you know. And it's like, well, not. I wouldn't say that because you know it was there was talk that they were going to overturn Obamacare daily. Yeah, there was talk that they were going to overturn Obamacare.
The leaking of an opinion doesn't happen. I don't know where that's ever happened before.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
how do you think the media gets their inside information somehow?
Yeah.
I mean,
the point being, where they went on the attack sort of against Roberts, and sort of they went on the attack against the Republicans, you know, or the conservatives this time. You know,
what's unique here is that somebody at the court leaked an opinion before it was released and may never have been released. A draft opinion was leaked to the press. That's the first time that's ever happened. Now, speculation about decisions before they came out based on people saying, you know, this is going on and that's going on. That's a completely different thing. That may well have happened many times.
That's the context I was going into.
But here was different because what you had was somebody at the court, defying the rule of confidentiality that's been in place for God knows how long, took a draft opinion, a work product, and leaked it to the press. That has not happened before that I'm aware of.
Okay, I stand corrected.
I'll admit it when I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
that's the uniqueness of this.
Something that somebody pointed out on Twitter, one of the people I follow, she mentions, you know, it's funny, it's weird how people think, they say, making abortion illegal won't stop abortions. But they never point out that making guns illegal, that won't stop gun violence. They never bring that up. They think making guns illegal will stop gun violence.
Oh, the hypocrisy is so crazy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's
and making
beyond.
Abortion illegal, Mike will tell you, Hawkeye Mike's lawyer, it just means it goes to the state. It doesn't mean it's illegal. It'll probably be illegal in Alabama, Mississippi, and a few other choice states. It doesn't mean it's illegal. It just means the states decide. That's all it means.
Exactly. That's all it does. It doesn't. And now you got the Democrats who, you know, have no shame, right? Biden included, out talking about how the next thing they're going to be coming after is gay marriage and LGBTQ rights and all this. You know, completely invented out of whole cloth that that would happen.
Yeah.
And,
let me tell you something.
They can say anything. They will say anything.
Let me tell you something, Hawkeye Mike. Tremendous point. My gay friend, he's gay, great friend, but he's gay. And he said exactly what you just said. He said they're coming after homosexual marriage next.
And
like,
what's his basis
for that?
Shut the
fuck up. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Who? Show me where someone has said that or advocated that.
I know. I don't
anywhere.
Get it. These people
it's not
are so gonna fucking
happen.
Crazy. I know. I agree
but
with
but
you,
Hawkeye. They want to throw that out just like any time.
I'm just amplifying your point.
Not,
I totally
well,
agree with
it's,
you.
It's the same. It's the same as when, you know, election measures are taken and it's like, this law is aimed at nothing more than stopping black people from voting. Really? How did you come up with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and that's another thing. Yeah. The other thing that was going to be banned is interracial marriage. People
yes.
forgetting
and
the fact
like,
that Justice
it's like,
Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they think,
yeah.
well, you, I mean,
ridiculous.
They're so idiotic. It's like, are you saying then that the only way that a black person is able to vote is by stuffing a ballot box in the middle of Philadelphia?
I have used
You're saying they're not capable
right,
of
right.
going
they,
to the polling
or
place?
Or they have to have, you have to go to their, wherever they're at and give them a mail ballot.
I have used the term before.
They're implied,
they
and then they're implied
it
racism that
because
they don't
they're
even
too dumb
it.
To figure out how to vote otherwise.
Yeah,
I've
exactly.
used this term before. What they are, I've used this term before, probably on Hank's show. What they are, they being the liberals, they're intellectually lazy. I've used that
yep.
term before. They don't think. They're emotional. And emotion's a good thing. We want to have that as a component to our arguments, but not our sole argument. And
exactly.
Hawkeye Mike pointed out Joe Biden. I can't even talk about the guy because I don't want to destroy Hank's show. I don't think he's said anything intelligent ever. He never publicly came out and scolded his child. Now, I understand that he would be able to say, hey, my child's free and 21 and can make his own decisions, and shame on him for making the wrong ones. But he doesn't even come out and do that. Now
yeah,
they're
but,
saying,
but how much involved is Joe in Hunter's business anyway, right? He's the big
that's
guy,
that's
right?
My point.
So, so
I've
I mean,
seen things like
criticize him.
Yeah, it's just,
what?
From whatever.
No. When I say I can't criticize him, he is my least favorite president ever. What I meant was I don't want to go too overboard on the Hank show. I think he is the most corrupt, dumbest politician. I mean, I do not have a single word. Hey, Barack Obama, I didn't agree with him, but he was a good orator. Bill Clinton, and you all know, I'm a fucking conservative. Bill Clinton, he was a good politician. Hate to say it, but he was. I cannot
Obama
think of one thing to say about Joe Biden.
Obama doesn't respect Biden. I mean, remember he famously said, you know, never underestimate this guy's ability to fuck things up.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Biden knows.
That.
Yeah. Oh, no, he absolutely did, or they say he did. And no, I couldn't agree more. The guy has not made a single good decision. 40-year politician. Okay, let's look at the record. 4 years. Name me one thing he did in the Senate. Name me one. Well, vice presidents basically have no power, so
no,
I'll give him a
I'll
pass
give you
for
one
that.
Thing, and he doesn't want anybody to. He doesn't want to act. He acts now like he never heard about it. Was that 1994 crime bill. He was responsible for that. Of course, every
yep.
liberal in the country thinks it was the worst piece of legislation that ever came out because, you know, it resulted in a bunch of young black men getting locked up because they really toughened things up. So he's been running away from that. What he did that, by the way, Biden was responsible for that. He's been running away from that piece of legislation for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And who overturned it? Who overturned it? Think, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? Well, nobody overturned
the 94 crime bill?
I don't know if it's ever been overturned.
No, it's not been.
Donald Trump did the decriminalization bill.
Well,
Donald Trump,
oh, no,
who's supposed to be this awful right-wing piece of shit. Well, guess what? He did more for the black community than anyone.
Yeah,
you're right.
Absolutely.
And he spent a lot of his efforts trying to reverse the effects of that crime bill.
Yeah, well, here again,
exactly.
I probably shouldn't be getting political. Well, it is poly sports, so I can get political.
Yeah.
I love Donald Trump, and I'll say it in a bar, and if someone wants to pick a fight with me, so be it. I love Donald Trump.
It probably would be hard to do the way things are.
Oh, no. I got a black friend who hates Donald Trump. But he's one of those good liberals that can at least have a, you know, normal discourse. But no, anyone tells me Donald Trump did more for the black community than anyone, and he only still got 8% of the vote thereabouts.
Right.
I don't fucking get it. And this is why I never call in on Hank's show during the politics part, because I get animated. My bad, Hank. You and Hawkeye might take the floor. But it just drives me crazy. And Joe Biden?
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay, Hank, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Brother Tommy, we're going to get to the part that your original purpose for coming on today. This Saturday, I want to get to this before we lose all the other stuff. This Saturday, of course, is the Kentucky Derby, the
Correct.
Run for the Roses. And you are our resident. You are our resident expert on the
horse
racing. Horse
racing,
front. So
and I'm broke because of it.
Yeah.
are we looking at a Triple Crown contender this year?
Well, we're going to get to that. There's 20 horses.
No.
There's 20 horses. Chad Brown is the trainer for Zandon, who is the 3-1 opening line favorite. And the horse goes from the 10 post.
Don't bet him. Don't bet him, people.
Well, first of all, is the 10 post itself, is that relevant?
10 post is not that bad. What you want to do is you want to go through post 4-7 is the best.
Okay.
3-7. You don't want inside because you can get squeezed in. 4-7, 10, it's doable, but it's not the optimal post.
Okay.
No.
Now, is there a divider between the 10 and 11 posts? You know how sometimes there are dividers?
No.
There is
no. It's the same thing, basically.
Okay.
I'm answering
your
question directly.
Now, here's another thing.
Rare for me.
A hearing officer in New York has recommended a 2-year ban for Bob Baffert in that state, which essentially means nationwide since he's already suspended in Kentucky and California, right? So he's basically done for a while. Is that fair
to
say?
He's done. I'm sorry, little hanksters. I'm lighting a cigarette. Don't do it. Don't take up smoking. But Bob Baffert's done. Too much scrutiny now.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this on one of your last shows. He's pissed off at his veterinarians. That's what it's coming down to. People don't get it. It's a very complicated equation to get. But no, Bob Baffert's done because of this scrutiny. So you're not going to see him win another major, Triple Crown like race or Breeders' Cup. No, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's just not going to happen.
So one of the ways can glean quick info. I'm talking about casual bettors, of course, is the daily racing form. So what could a casual bettor, or not a first timer, but what could a casual bettor? What kind of stuff can they get out of the daily racing form that's going to help them?
They can't get, they cannot get anything. It's like saying, what can you get out of 4 years of a university in a week? You can't do it. Sorry.
If somebody calls you up and says, hey, I've got the daily racing form, what are the things I'm looking for?
Trainer statistics. There's a thing that has trainer statistics. Don't worry about the jockeys. Worry about the trainers. I don't even know if he's still training, but Todd Pletcher, I would imagine, is still training. And go with the trainers, not the jockeys, and they have the statistics. Also, Kentucky Derby, if you're talking about that specifically, it used to be, probably still is, a plotter's track. In other words, Santa Anita, which is in California, fast horses, the ones that get out really quick, are the ones that win. That's not going to be the case necessarily at Churchill Downs. It can happen, but for the most part, it's not.
It's a slower – in other words, it's a slower track.
Correct. Now, Hank, you were a track guy. It's the difference between doing a 100-yard dash and 800 meters. You know, it's
and then doing it on cinders versus doing it on a tartan surf, you know, surface.
Yeah, the way it was explained to me once by a track guru that even knows more than I do, it's like running on sand right by the water on the beach as opposed to the dry sand.
Yeah,
different people have different things. I mean, some people are more equipped for one, some are more equipped for the other. There's a saying, horse for the course. Some horses love it. So what I would do is kind of analyze, I don't do it anymore, but what I would do is analyze the slow course track. In fact, I don't know if it's been resurfaced, so I could be dead wrong here. But back when I did it, Churchill Downs was a slow track, so I would analyze other slow tracks. Aqueduct, Memorial, what's that? Yeah, Aqueduct, Wood Memorial is probably more of a fast track. I'm not saying they can't pull it off, but remember, this is what no one gets. Horses are like people. They get the sniffles. They get the flu. Whatever horse flu is, but they get sick too. And guess what? They don't have veterinarians checking them out every hour, so they get sick and they can't talk to you.
A horse can't talk to you.
They can't tell you. I don't feel good.
I got a case of the sniffles. So I mentioned the daily racing form. You and I used to go occasionally. What the hell is with the cost of that thing now?
Oh, my God. I went with my youngest boy, Andy, a couple of years ago. And I said, could I get a racing form, please? Because you can't do anything without the racing form. It has a track variance. It's got all of the information. It's the Bible of horse racing.
Right.
And they said, okay, that'll be $11. And I'm like, haha. I laughed. To call it inflation, call it what you want.
Okay.
I used to pay $3,
$2. I think that's more than a Sunday New York Times. But here's the question, and here's what I mean by that. Okay, a hardcore bettor, I mean, if you truly bought it daily, that's $4,000 a year. To buy the racing form. I mean, obviously you could subscribe and all that, but I'm saying $4,000 a year. I mean, you can do this. You can get Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime and Disney Plus and Apple TV. All of that together for a fraction of it. I mean, you could get cable, almost premium cable, and get one of those horse racing channels and get a better deal. I mean,
I've already suggested it to you. Maybe I'm not amplifying my point enough. Hardcore bettors end up quitting because they realize it's a loser's game. I didn't quit because I want the GA, Gamblers Anonymous. I just realized it's a loser's game. When they're taking a 15 to a 20% take, which means, okay, that's very complicated. Yeah, that's why hardcore bettors, they drop out. They drop out. Yeah. They're like, fuck it. I can't beat this game. Now, for
I
don't drive.
On something like boxing, I think, you know?
I think you're better off not betting at all. No, I don't bet anymore. And people think, gee, Tom, because Hawkeye Mike, you don't know this, but I was the biggest degenerate gambler you've ever met in your life. I am broke right now. I probably have $1 million in my pocket. But because of the fact that I was a hardcore gambler, and then someday it just hits you, and it's like, this is bullshit. I'm not doing this anymore. And I didn't do it for GA. I didn't do it because... my youngest son wants to go to the track. I don't want to sit in a bus for an hour, but maybe I will. Who knows? I don't give a fuck. But no, I don't do it. And plus, it got to the point when I got good, and I did get good. I got very good, actually. But when I did, it was 6 hours at night. I didn't buy the daily racing form at 11 in the morning and then study it for an hour and then bet. No. They used to have it. They still do, I'm sure. But I'd buy it the night before. I would literally, I think I've said it on the Hank podcast before, I would literally just go up and down my garage. At the time, I had a garage, and just read this thing till 4, 5 in the fucking morning. And you guys think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. You got to look at workout times. You got to look at everything.
You weren't pulling Tom, you weren't a real-life Kramer, like betting on flights and arrivals at the airport.
I just saw that episode a few days ago. Seinfeld. It's a lock.
Yeah. Newman brings the bag that belongs
to the bag from Son of Sam. Great episode. Great episode.
Okay, so Tommy, what's the best derby you ever saw? I mean, as an adult, not you know, remembering that you saw Secretariat. In your adult, what's the best derby you remember watching? Or what was your favorite?
You are, Hank, you know it as well as I do. You have a better memory than me. I have no memory. I don't have a best derby. I'll tell anyone. Of course, I'm going to sound like, you know, it's like fucking so fucking cliche, but Secretariat.
What I'm saying, we never saw. We saw Secretariat when we were kids.
I don't remember it. You remember shit. I don't remember shit. I don't remember shit.
49 years later, no horse has run under 2 minutes on that track.
Yeah, exactly.
To this day.
Let me tell you something, Hank. I think we did it on your show. I don't know if I was talking to you or whatever. Secretariat, are you kidding me? When they have the 100 best athletes, they have Secretariat like 17, you know, Muhammad Ali, number one.
Sure.
Bullshit. Secretariat is number one. Secretariat did, and I've said it before on the Hank Show, I'm pretty sure.
Watch that Belmont Stakes if you want to see something.
Oh, yeah, that was unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Lengths.
The Belmont Stakes, what he did, they even say 30-length lead. It's probably more than that. Yeah. No, it's fucking Secretariat. It was crazy. Hank, to answer your question, I don't have a best derby. In fact, I've done very, very poorly on the big races. What you want to do is you want to go to the small circuits, and what you do is you get value. And so, no, I do not have a best. I remember 73, I want to say, was Secretariat.
Yep, exactly.
Hanks and my mom and dad were went to
had a little derby party at our
kids.
We're actually up north for that. We're actually up north for
that
one.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I don't have a best one. I'm sorry, I can't titillate, but I can't titillate.
Okay, so here's another question. If people are reading this, does the up races, you know, the pre races like the Santa Anita, the Wood Memorial, the Florida, the Arkansas, do any of those give more street cred than another? Like, in other words, if you were just judging
absolutely.
Certain races are definitely better. So the that's an example, the Florida Derby,
it's very
not
simple.
As good as winning the Wood Memorial.
I'm
going to
contradict what I said earlier. I'm going to contradict what I said earlier about Santa Anita, but follow the money. These trainers aren't fucking winding their watch. They're going to go to win money with their horses because the better horses, blah, blah, blah. Wood Memorial, Santa Anita. Oh, Gulfstream Park, which is 3 hours and a half
south
of me. Yeah. But every once in a while you get an aberration. That's what happens in horse racing. That's why I prefaced the whole thing with ladies, if you don't care about horse racing, this is human nature. I mean, sorry, but you get aberrations in life, and that's what I would say about it. I do not have specifics. If you can go to between post 4 and 7 and get value.
So,
if a horse is
okay, so now you've talked about trainer. What about stable or jockey? Does that make a difference?
Jockey doesn't, contrary to popular belief. I mean, it does, but Pat Day won the Kentucky Derby like on his 20th year, and he's considered one of the greatest jockeys. Jockeys to me, nothing. Stables, absolutely everything. But that's a reflection of the trainer. So there again, here we're back to life. It's like, you know, a vice president of a big company is a reflection of the president, you know?
Here's something I got a question about. Okay, you know, you have the grades. Like there's maiden claiming, claiming. So you're hearing about grade two wins.
All maiden means is the horse has never won a race before.
Right.
That's all it means. People confuse it.
Are there any maidens that are running in the Kentucky Derby as an example?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's a horse that hasn't won before. You have to qualify. There are supplemental entries.
You hear about grade two and grade one. Is that just a matter of how much money is on it, or is it a matter of are there other things that go into making going from grade
scale,
two to grade one?
The scale of the race. It's MLB versus MLB AAA baseball or AA baseball.
Yes,
money is definitely involved. But when you see a grade one race, that's the top of the top.
Right.
Now, technology, and this is amazing, I remember this. Technology won the Derby, I'm pretty sure, about 20 years ago. And it's amazing, I remember that. But, you know, he didn't do anything but a grade two, I think. I don't know. It can be done. Hank, you're a track guy. You know the routine. Sometimes you just...
It clicks,
the person that's in the best mood or whatever you want to call it wins.
Here's another here's another factor I see. The ones that they say, oh, this horse never ran as a two-year-old. And the other people say, well, no, a horse needs race experience and race readiness. Is there any credence to either one?
Yes, complicated, but D. Wayne Lucas used to, I don't know if he still does, used to be a trainer, and he would overtrain the fuck out of his two-year-olds. And so they subsequently would, they're burnt out. They were burnt out. I'll tell everyone, do not bet a D. Wayne Lucas horse. Trust me on this one, fellas. You want to train them properly. Okay, Tom, Brother Tommy, what's the proper amount? I would say about 12 races by the time you're three. If you overrun a two-year-old, in other words, if you run a two-year-old 20 times, D. Wayne Lucas was another fucking money whore. Hey, I get it. He's trying to make a buck. Hey, that's his business. But don't think I'm dumb enough to buy into your horse. So it's a complex equation. You want to train enough, but not too much. I would say 12 races. Look at the racing form, and that's 8 to 12 races, 8 to 12.
Okay.
And there again, are there aberrations? Most certainly they are. But we're speaking in generalities here.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough. Okay.
What the fuck? These police are still fucking here.
Okay.
I'm gonna close
with this question. It's from a movie, but it bears asking. So was Paulie right in Pope of Greenwich Village when he said Charlie jinxed Starry Hope by betting her across the board? Or was Charlie right when he said, hey, money comes and it goes? Which is more, I mean, are superstition bets completely
no,
that?
No, I know exactly what you're asking. And for the little hanksters, this stage is not staged. It's an interesting question. You get 3-1 on a show bet, you fucking go for it. But can you jinx it? I mean, anyone that's been in a casino, I mean, think about it. You really think your mental mindset is going to change things? It's not. If you want to believe it, go for it. That's your business. But no, it's not going to change it. No, you're not going to jinx anything. But I think the most fundamental part of your question is actually a good question. Do you go across the board? Jury's out on it. Half the handicappers would say yes. The other half would say no. I would say no, but that's why I'm broke. I'm a risk taker, and I just go straight up on
winning. What about the other stuff, like the exacta, the trifecta, and those types? Are those in a derby? I mean, strictly speaking, in a derby, is that a losing proposition?
No. But what you want to do is do not box. In other words, box is when you put them all together. Don't do that. It's a waste of fucking money. Excuse my language.
Right. Right.
You want to put one over the others. In other words, or maybe even two over the others. I like the 1-2 over the 2-3 or 1-2-3-4. Do it like that. Don't box. You're going to save money, number one, and number two. It's just...
So you're talking about the key bets, like the old key bets. Like I'll take the...
Always key.
I'll take the trifecta with the one over the 2-3-5. So as long as two of those come in, you're okay.
And believe me, there is not a freaking professional handicapper on this earth that would disagree with the following statement. Do not box your horses because it costs so much more money. And, you know, everything's value. I always go back to value. No one listens to me. It's all about value. You're going to get much more value. But no, I don't box. Yes, I do key bets. But no, key a bet is not bad. I mean, shit. It was like 5-10 years ago. I don't know. You're better with dates than I am, where a $2 bet got you back $100,000. You know, so key bet it. Go value, and remember, it's the Kentucky Derby. Stay away. Here again, aberrations happen. Stay away from the favorites. Get that anywhere from 8-1 above. You do not want 3-1. You do not want 2-1. Trust me on this one.
Even if it's if it's the winning horse, then obviously what you're saying, if it's one that you knew was going to win, as an example, if you could go back and Secretariat, what you would have done, you wouldn't have made your money by betting Secretariat. You would have made it by the second and third place horses in a key or whatever.
But Secretariat's a one in a century horse.
Yeah.
I talk about Secretariat. No one listens to me, and that's fine. I don't give a shit. But Secretariat's a one in a million. Secretariat, you wouldn't in his prime. I don't even know what he went off at odds and stuff. But he deserves 1-1. And you know what? You're getting value with Secretariat at 1-1. Value is a difficult concept to understand. In other words, just find the horse. And there again, I don't do it anymore, but find the horse that is going to give you the best value. Now, you can get value at 2-1. You can. And that's called Secretariat. Another horse called Cigar. Citation was before my time. He was value. But short of that, fuck it. You don't do that. Think about it. You play 10 bets a day. You got to get value. In other words, you've got to win that 7 or 8-1. Guess what? If you go home and you go home broke, so be it. Hey, you had balls. You know, I'm telling you, it's not the smart move to play the favorites. And especially at the Derby, Preakness, Belmont Stakes.
His Kentucky Derby odds were 1-5. His Preakness was, let me look at that. I'll just quickly look it up.
Than that, 1-9 probably. Oh, incidentally, if you do see value in that horse, do the show bet, because by law, they're obligated to pay you 5%. So if you get 1-9 and you're going to get, the same money for win as show. So do the show bet. But then again, what the fuck are we going out there for? We're going out there to try to change our lifestyles. And does it work? Fuck no, it doesn't work. That's why it's gambling. Remember that movie?
They come to gambling.
But, but no, you just go show there. If you get anything under anything under 2-1 and you're convinced the horse is going to win, bet them to show. You're going to get 5% return. Minimal they pay you back is $2.20 on a $2 bet, which, yeah, I mean, do the math. You know the math.
Yeah.
Exactly. 10%. That's interesting. Why not just the math? Okay. Okay. See, this is how long it's been since I've been in the game. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. No. So, no, that's all good questions. So that's, I just wanted to, you know, it's the Saturday, it's the Derby. I know people like to, some people like to get dressed up and,
now
you know,
that's why
make,
you do
make
it.
Mint juleps. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you do it. Go for the festivity. I mean, you, me, Hawkeye Mike, we love Iowa games. But you know what? The tailgate parties, probably just as fun, if not funner. That's why you go. Get yourself a mint julep. Have fun. You go out to a fucking party. That's it. You're going to win money? Yeah, you are, if you get lucky. But
yeah.
Who can guarantee that? That's promised to no one. You know, so complicated equation, but
okay. So that's, you know, but no, I just wanted to, you know, it's coming up. It's an important time for a lot of people, or you know, it's that time of year. So that's awesome, man. Thanks for bringing us that that stuff. Let's play you out here, and then I'll let you go.
You don't even have to play me out. I'm not.
Oh, you got to hear it.
Yeah, I love
this
song. This
is TJ. Dedicated a song to Let Betty. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She from Birmingham, Bama Lamb, way down in Alabama. Bama Lamb, the way she shake that thing. Bama Lamb, boy, she make me sing. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Bama Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Bama Lamb, she really get me high. Bama Lamb, you know that's no lie. Bama Lamb, she's so rock steady. Bama Lamb, but she's always ready. Bama Lamb, whoa.
And that's Brother Tommy and Hawkeye Mike in there for a little bit, to letting us go know what was going on. It started with that stupid story I brought up at the top. Holger, I'll tell it again for you because you weren't here. Indy, I don't think you were either, although you came in on the tail end of it. So I'm flipping through stuff, and this is an actual story. And it's the story of a guy who called a fictosexual, and he married a hologram of a fictional 16-year-old character. Now, this is in Japan, which doesn't really matter because that kind of stuff happens here too. But yeah, so that's how Mike got into it, and we started talking about this stuff. So yeah, these wackos do this stuff, and so this guy Holger marries this hologram of a 13-year-old pop star in Japan, but his regret is that the thing that he bought, it was called Gatebox. His Gatebox, they don't have support on it anymore on the software. So he came home one day. He worked. He knew what was happening. He said goodbye to her. He went home, and her image was replaced by the words "network error." That's how we got. And the reason I brought Tom in earlier, folks, is because he and I actually often joked about was Richard Gere really one of those? Are those stories about Richard Gere and the gerbil really true? And he always says, no, of course not. It's not. And now after reading this story, I'm thinking it's very possible. I'm no longer discounting the Richard Gere gerbil story. So, hey, let's get to some real news. So we maybe have heard about this. This Russian foreign minister, his name is Sergei Lavrov. And this guy went on an interview in Italy, I believe, or it was in Russian and dubbed into Italian. He basically said that he was asked about Russia claims that it invaded Ukraine to denazify the country. Sergei Lavrov said that Ukraine could still have Nazi elements, even if some of the figures, including the country's president, are Jewish. He answers, he goes, so when they say, how can Nazification exist if we're Jewish? He says, in my opinion, Hitler also had Jewish origins, so it doesn't mean absolutely nothing. For some time, we have heard from the Jewish people that the biggest anti-Semites were Jewish. Now, he's, of course, been lambasted. Israel has called out the Israeli or the Russian ambassador to Israel, called him to account. One guy said Jews didn't murder themselves in the Holocaust. But you know, this is another thing that's going to place, you know, Russia is not, it's not just Putin, it's people, other psychos in that regime, so to speak. So yeah, we got that going on. That's always a cheer thing to know that they're bringing those up. I brought up the Amazon is ending COVID paid leave. So it was the original. It was, I believe, the government required 8 hours. Amazon cut back in January to 40 hours, and not cutting back to nothing. Maybe it's 5 days. But the importance here as I'm going along, because we get that. And our next story, now that was the what the hell file, the Russian minister, what in the hell. Now here's from the who didn't see this coming file. This one, it's not as bizarre as the man marrying the hologram. I'll grant you that. Nothing's as bizarre as that right now. But here's one from Texas. Rattlesnake handler dies doing what he loved after being bitten during a Texas show. Yeah, bit him during a show. He was bitten on the shoulder, flown to a Corpus Christi hospital where he died. Organizers of the Kendall County Fair Association says he died, quote, doing what he loved, being with the rattlesnakes. Then it says, the love and dedication he displayed for his community was witnessed every day, from being member of the location's volunteer fire department to being a call away for local residents to assist with removing snakes from their property. He was always ready to help. Then it says, we will never forget his excitement during roundup time. He did it all. Okay, when I say who didn't see this coming, yeah, I'm going to go with firm, hard no on a career in snake handling. I mean, seriously, what do people expect? Remember the guy, Siegfried or Horn? Doesn't really matter which one, by the way. Remember the one got attacked by one of the lions from their show? And people were shocked. Remember there were statements like, he's never attacked before, or it was his first attack. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, stories of pet chimpanzees literally ripping the faces off their owners isn't enough of a dissuader, I guess. Come on, man. These are wild, dangerous animals. Look, I get it. It's one thing to rescue and care for a wild animal and nurse it back to health. Okay, that's great. It doesn't mean you make it a household pet. That's why we have damn zoos and wildlife refuges, for God's sake. By the way, snake handling's no different. You got to figure at some point after, quote, X number of snakes, snake number X plus whatever is going to be that one that gets you. Now, to a lesser degree, it's the same with pit bulls. They've been bred over generations to do what they do. I mean, there's literally people that say, oh, this took us totally by surprise. They're trained to fight and kill. At a certain point, yeah, one is going to go rogue on the being a pet thing. So in spite of the fact that there's a bill to dissolve this before it can happen, looks like, yeah, Dopey Joe has created he's created a – I forgot what the well, first of all, I don't think it's been him. I think it was Barack Hussein Obama. Let's just get this right out in the open. Yes, Dopey Joe's said to have done it. They've instituted an agency under Department of Homeland Security whose job is to monitor disinformation. Now, the – I forgot what it's called. It's what is it? It's the Truth Board, but that's not what it's actually called. It's the Department of Homeland Security creating a disinformation governance board to allegedly fight disinformation. Now, it says specifically to coordinate countering misinformation related to Homeland Security, focused specifically on irregular migration and Russia. No, also about talking about elections, misinformation about elections. Now, who's the head of this? Nina Jankowicz. This doesn't ring a bell. Nina Jankowicz has been one of those on one of the lead horses saying Hunter's laptop was total nonsense and that it shouldn't be reported on. It shouldn't be released. By the way, she also has close links to Ukraine. But she also promoted Christopher Steele dossier used to smear President Trump. And this is our quote-unquote leader in the fight against disinformation. Now, as I said, I suspect this is really Barack Hussein Obama doing this. I don't think it's, I don't think it's Dopey Joe coming up with it on its own. I think we're going to have to get to that realization. He's been the one coming up with this stuff. But literally, Nina Jankowicz, this is literally like putting Snoop Dogg in charge of the DEA. I mean, literally, it is literally like putting Snoop Dogg in charge of the DEA. I mean, Lindsey Graham, who ain't exactly the biggest Trump supporter, he's not a never-Trumper, but he ain't the biggest Trump supporter, even he said way back when that the collusion between the Department of Justice and Fusion GPS to use the Steele dossier was, I mean, it's just, as he said, they funded it. She says the Steele dossier, she actually said this, the Steele dossier began as a Republican opposition research project. Really? Really? I mean, that's the kind of, and this is our minister of disinformation, or our minister of truth, if you want to call it that. And then we got Rachel Levine, that thing called Rachel Levine, the highest ranking transgender in our federal government. They always talk about it. She says, all pediatricians in this country agree on the importance of gender affirming care for children. This out, and you'll realize how absurd that statement is. She said, there is no argument about gender-affirming care among pediatricians and doctors who specialize in adolescents. She made the comments on NPR, of course, or there were comments were given to NPR before she spoke at Texas Christian University. She blamed the high rate of suicidal ideation among transgender youth, identifying youth, on the harassment, scapegoating, and intentional abuse. She says, the language of medicine and science is being used to drive people to suicide. And says, there is no argument among medical professionals, pediatricians, pediatric endocrinologists, adolescent media physicians, adolescent psychiatrists, etc., about the value and the importance of gender-affirming care. And what this means is includes social affirmation at any age, puberty blockers during puberty, and hormone therapy starting during early adolescence. Then goes on to say, irreversible surgery is typically used in adulthood or case-by-case basis in adolescence. And she's saying there's no disagreement within the pediatric community. Oh, by the way, other than Florida Surgeon General Joseph Ladapo, who released a fact sheet refuting these claims. Says there is lack of conclusive evidence, the potential for long-term irreversible effects. Says, I mean, it's just, we are literally, that's the age that we're in right now. And, you know, I'm with Mike that I think the polls are pretty much showing that the GOP is going to take back the House and Senate. Now, the big left ain't going down without a fight. Trust me. But Holter says it's like putting Jeffrey Dahmer in charge of vegan menus. Not quite, but literally, they are not going to go down without a fight. So So you're going to hear this kind of stuff. I mean, they're going to rally on whatever they can. They're going to probably rally on if the Supreme Court does send Roe versus Wade back to the states. They'll try and rally on that as an example. That's a person appointed government official. Two more items. Promise. Holter, you're going to have to listen for the last one because you're going to like it. But the first one, okay, the student loan issue. Student loan issue. Okay. Now, there's talk that it won't happen. It's already been mentioned that Dopey Joe probably can't do it, that if he does it, he'll probably get shot down in the courts. But he's expected to issue an executive order now, because they're grasping at anything and everything, to issue an executive order to cancel student loan debt up to $10,000. Now, I don't know, if he's going to try and push that. Democrats in Congress are pushing for $50,000 per borrower. Somehow, I think he's just thinking he can get away with $10,000 and people won't scream. James Clyburn of South Carolina says, that's a good first step. He says, I'm not going to be comfortable with only at $10,000. People like AOC and Pocahontas Warren are pushing for $50,000. Okay. Let's take a look at this point, up to this point, the ultimate creator of class warfare by La Dopey Nostra. Look, there's obvious friction between those that are obligated and those that are not. The person who's holding $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 of student debt is feeling it differently than the person who never went to college, never took out loans, and is working in a job that they're happy with. Blue collar, white collar, doesn't matter. So there's that. Where the hell is this money coming from? Now think about this. We borrowed money from ourselves to, quote, loan it to someone to go to college. Now, presumably, each of these people either graduated or they went for a certain amount of time. So the value, quote, in quotes, was, quote, paid for. In other words, the institutions of higher learning received the money for the attendance at those institutions. And, people were getting money to go to nail salons and all that. I don't care about that. That's not where I'm mad. But let's not even consider right now, at least for now, the jack wagon who got money for student loans and then never paid the institution or institutions, in some cases, for his or her attendance. Let's not even get there. Now consider this. Each time student loan funding has gone up, miraculously, the cost for tuition, fees, books, and room and board has also gone up. Gee. Now let's move on to those who took part in or received the old guaranteed student loans. These are loans that required no qualifying beyond having to attend an approved, accredited institution. And as long as you progressed, i.e. if you had enough credits to be at the next level, you could keep getting a guaranteed student loan each year up to a specified amount. Now, here's where it gets dicey. To defer these loans, i.e. not to have to start payback immediately, you could be enrolled in a minimum number of hours, thus qualifying as a student, quote-unquote student, hence graduate and get a job, but start a postgraduate program, and you could still have student loan deferment. You might see where I'm going with this. Now you can see exactly where I'm going. So in order to maintain a job and a deferment, you might start work at XYZ Corp and also attend the proverbial night school, earning credits toward a master's degree or maybe an additional undergraduate degree. Now, you tell me, who makes quicker progress on repaying a student loan? The guy who starts his job or career, buckles down, starts paying off the loan, pushes to advance his career, concentrates on the career itself, or the guy who takes a job, maybe considered as a transitional or interim job, keeps going to class so he can defer student loans, and in fact, maybe even taking out additional loans, ostensibly in order to pay for additional studies, Thus, he stagnates at that job or career, never being able to advance rapidly enough to improve his standing. Tell me, which guy? Now, let's add this. The guy who is focused on his career is also investing in his company's 401k, maybe even investing outside on his own, especially as he sees some extra money as loans are paid down or paid off. Meanwhile, career student loan deferment guy, if he's investing, he's never earning enough to pay off loans quickly, especially if he's taking additional loans. He may even have to borrow against or liquidate his 401k, add a nice penalty, naturally, to pay off those loans once he does stop being part of that part-time worker, part-time professional student class. Well, we will have people who already paid for those loans, in effect, paying again. We the people are, without our permission, not only not getting paid back, we are in effect paying for the loan that we took out for these borrowers. Now, imagine if you owned stock in a bank, and unilaterally that bank said, we are forgiving all auto loans. Stockholders will just have to bite the bullet and will just have to accept that earnings and thus stock value will suffer. Question, how long would that bank's board of directors survive? How long would depositors continue to use that bank? How long would commercial borrowers, you know, developers, builders, businesses that finance inventory other than cars, how long do you think they'll continue to borrow from that bank? Now, add in that the board then announces that management and staff will continue to get paid and the board will actually get raises. First of all, how do you think the consumer warriors and liberal Congress types like AOC would react? How do you think she'd react? So what's different? Okay, people with other types of government loans, such as SBA loans, people who pay interest on tax debt, even taxpayers, aren't having their debt forgiven. And guess what? Those who decide, i.e. La Dopi Nostra or a Democrat-led Congress, they haven't consulted us about this. In fact, many in Congress supporting this are themselves obligated by student loan debt AOC. So knowing that, you can't complain to the SEC about it. You have no recourse in the courts, really. A news media who not only won't take up your case, but is in fact in collaboration. How does all that make you feel? Exactly. Okay, closing tonight with this. Here's a great tweet from Holger, or rather a tweet from Holger that had a great photo with the following words. If my dog got 3 rabies vaccines in a year and still got rabies, I'd start asking questions. Is that not the truth? Think about this for a second. If, like me, you have a dog, you're accustomed, I hope, to at least annual visits to the vet, in our case, semi-annual. Why? Things like, you know, they need checking, like teeth, paws, digestive health, general body health, coat, skin, ears, and, of course, the dreaded fecal exam. Of course, in our case, those are occasional shots. For our adorable little Aussie shepherd, there's heartworm and tick meds we give once a month. Annual shots, she gets an annual Lyme disease vaccine. So you're saying, Hank, why the fuss about multiple COVID-19 shots? I'll tell you why. They're saying 2 or 3 shots are recommended for COVID, and, of course, there are more coming. But guess what? As I told you earlier, according to Amazon, COVID is over. Don't get your shots anymore. Do not let this happen. Resist, as they say. Just resist. And last but not least, class one time called CERT, Community Emergency Response Team. And they talked about things in there, and this is the thing about multiple vaccines and masks. They said, you know those bomb squad people that go up to bombs? They're not doing it for protection. They're doing it so that there's something to give the family after the bomb goes off. Same thing here. The mask doesn't stop COVID. It just makes someone feel better. Don't put up with it anymore. Folks, got to go. We're up at the end. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend. Have a great rest of this week. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, we'll be a little more cogent and coherent. Brother Tommy and Mike and I get to going. So have a good week. Be safe. God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good night, folks.